The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes? No.
What's going on, New York City?
Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh, my God. Hey. Whoa. Yeah. How are you guys doing? We don't normally have a wireless mic. We could do like a TED Talk right now. The big TED Talk. Okay. Yes. Whoa. What an episode. Merge boot, everybody.
I'm very intimidated right now by all these people. I just texted my fiance. I'm very nervous, and she said, "All of these people have seen you with clown music, so don't worry. Like you've embarrassed yourself already. Like they
all right, take a seat, yeah. Take a seat. All right, thank you guys so much. Let the people at home hear you guys. The biggest crowd we've ever had. Here we are, the Lincoln Square AMC. Huge screen. We just watched Survivor.
Yeah.
Jeff Probst introduced us.
Unbelievable.
On video. Yeah. And we had a really interesting episode to talk about.
It was great. I mean, we were sitting in you know, watching it together.
Nosebleed seats.
Yeah. And you were saying, you know, you thought there was a lot.
And I was stress eating popcorn the entire time. I had the merge feast of popcorn. Yeah. Outback Steakhouse should have come in and sponsored it. Boy, did we hear a lot about steak tonight?
Oh, ribeyes. My God. Who knew?
Yeah. We're raising the stakes, everybody.
Yeah. But you were saying you thought that the gameplay was not that great. And I actually thought that what this episode showed was how, like, consistently, I feel like this, you know, we've heard a lot of really bad things about this season, it being sort of boring or kind of like subpar characters. And I feel like this showed that you have a real deep roster of players who know the game really well.
Okay. Do you guys feel like that overall everybody played well tonight?
Not everybody.
No, yeah. No. Yeah. Okay. No, I think that there were a lot of mistakes that went on. And I guess why don't we start off by talking through Jessica, who I will speak with on the exit interview tomorrow. Woo. We'll talk to Jessica. Sadly, she never really had a chance this season once I made her my winner pick.
Wrong about everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Very wrong. Yeah. I think she was a halfway decent player.
She seems to really know the game. She claimed to have listened to our podcast, which obviously was not helping her very much.
So. No. Yeah. No. She showed flashes, but ultimately, she was sort of the victim that they wanted to go after Cole. They were afraid Joe was going to play the idol on him. And she ultimately was the classic, okay, who's the least threatening person who's not going to have an idol at the merge?
I also thought there was an element to it where, like, this group probably talked about Cole or Joe for 6 hours there on the beach. And then at the end of the day, like 15 minutes before tribal, someone is like, what about Jessica? And they're like, okay, that's different. You know, like, I really think that's like something that happens in Survivor where it's just, you know, whoever the wheel stops on when it's time to leave for tribal is the person who ends up going home, you know?
Yeah. Do you think she did something in particular in this round that caused her to be the person to get voted out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so the audience that you guys can't hear on the podcast is saying, trust Cole.
No, I thought she did something like Cole.
Like Cole.
Yeah,
like Cole.
She did Cole.
Yeah. Cole?
That was what I heard.
Guys, hey,
that's
come
what
on.
I heard.
Keep track of the storylines.
I'm just repeating things other people have said.
Yeah. Jessica is a very pure person. She was even uncomfortable saying thunder from down under.
Yeah, that seems debilitating, you know? Like, virginity apparently can't even go to a restaurant if you're a virgin and, like, order from their menu.
Yeah, I don't know about this thunder from down under, but I guess I'll try it if I have to.
Yeah.
I want to talk about Lauren, because she seemed to be the swing vote tonight.
I have a huge mea culpa to do. I referred to her on one of our podcasts as, I'm embarrassed to even say it, screen seaweed, and I feel so guilty
screen
about that.
Screen seaweed?
Yeah.
Well, that didn't really catch on.
I couldn't have been more wrong. She's probably my favorite character right now.
Really? There's a lot of Lauren Rimmer support out there. Yeah. I saw somebody here tonight. Who's the person that has the Lauren Rimmer t-shirt? Can you stand up?
Wow.
Can we see this?
Wow.
What does it say on it? Hashtag in it for Rimmer.
That's pretty good. Yeah.
There you go.
But she gave maybe my favorite quote in like the history of Survivor, which is that it's really hard. You know, she's like, all of these things, it's like hard to make.
It's a low
really
bar for the favorite quote.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, certainly not that Casey Kasem thing. You know, this is much better than that.
Too soon on Casey Kasem. But why do you feel like that she ultimately went with the other group? Was it just that it was potentially a 6-6 if Ben wasn't on board and she didn't want to get involved with any of that racket?
I think that's right. I mean, I also think that, I hate to say it, but you have been right about some big things this season. I think you were very right about the Hero Hustler Alliance, and you are also very right about the Ben and Lauren.
That was the thing.
Yeah.
That was the thing.
And I do think that became what it was. You know, I think ultimately when Ben, you know, got so livid about the cinnamon sticks, she had to follow his lead.
Yeah. I want to talk about the Ben and Cole situation. Do you feel, is Ben handling this well?
I mean, obviously not, right?
There's, no.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should talk through Ben's decision, because I don't think it necessarily just has to come down to food, right? I think we saw that as it was portrayed, it was all about him being very concerned about the food supply and Cole's like uncouth stealing of food. But him choosing to go with that Hero Hustler Alliance is not a terrible choice, and especially because the target of the healers is Chrissy, who's one of his best allies.
Yeah. For me, I always try to think about it, where is the person in both of the alliances? And for Ben, and especially for Lauren, I feel like that they're at the bottom of both of those alliances. Ben, I think, is better off to switch to the Hero Hustler Alliance, because at least he has Chrissy, he has Ashley and JP. JP, I don't even think, he's got a confessional tonight. Purple JP's tonight and things like that. So I think that for Ben, it's a better move to go with that Hero Hustler group. But for Lauren, she's really in a tough spot, because I think she's at the bottom of both alliances, and by a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, the interesting thing about the Hero Hustler Alliance is that there's so many subgroups, or, you know, if there were some convenient term for a subgroup of an alliance, that would be great. But sadly, there's none. There's so many
trust
subgroups.
Cluster?
Yeah. So many subgroups of that Hero Hustler Alliance that, you know, there's just more room to play for Ben and Lauren in that group than in the Yawa Healer Alliance.
Was there a way, though, for Lauren to do it where she's not going to end up pissing off all the people in the group? We saw her really, like, give her word to Dr. Mike.
On her children.
I'm with you guys. Right. Was there a way to do that without getting blood on her hands?
No, right? I mean, but to some degree, the people who she's betrayed are going to be mad. What's interesting, though, is I think that, like, Lauren's relationship is more with Dr. Mike. It's not necessarily with, you know, Joe, obviously, or Desi, or even Cole and Jessica. So, you know, Dr. Mike is maybe more of a free agent now. You know, this weakens the Healer Alliance, and as a result, like, there's still, you know, the next thing is not going to necessarily be by the same lines.
The best thing for Dr. Mike, I think, is for the healers just to completely go away, for him to just be, like, the last healer left, and then they'll forget about him.
Yeah, and as someone was commenting earlier, his glasses are also fogged. You can't even see his eye. Like, he's like being, you know. Yeah.
Cloaking device.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Joe. Boy, Joe's exciting.
Yeah.
But I don't think Joe played too great tonight.
Well, I mean, obviously he played an idol that he didn't have to play. But, you know, it's possible that he was the target. He brings out the idol. The target switches in some, like, you know, someone taps their nose and the target switches. And, I mean, that's actually unlikely. Never mind. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think that that was the case. Yeah. I mean, we saw in the episode, should the backup plan be Jessica? And I think that the primary plan was Cole.
Right, and then the primary plan became Jessica probably before Tribal Council.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and I think that the reason that the primary plan wasn't Joe, because there was some confusion, does Joe have an idol? And Joe ended up going out of his way to end that confusion.
Right.
Like, I think it would have been a better move for Joe, even if he just did everything he did and then not play the idol. And then, like, Malcolm had done things like that. I think Russell also did things like that, where take out the idol. Everybody thinks he has it. It's something they have to work around moving forward. But now, like he said, now it's back to an even playing field.
I actually thought that when he took out the idol that, like, they might vote for him because of it, because it's so common now for people to put the idol on, you know, take it out and then not play it. Like, it's almost the a bluff, you know, or like a known bluff.
Well, I almost feel like that for Joe, what we never got was what was his plan, where it was like, okay, at least the five healers, then they had Ben and Lauren. He seemed annoyed that Ben was even brought in. So I don't know what they thought their numbers were going to be, unless that he underestimated that the heroes and hustlers would be working together.
Yeah, I mean, we absolutely just didn't, you know, see what it was. There's something to what he said, though, of when he plays the idol, he says, let's start fresh, right? Obviously, like, once he'd pulled
out. That's not a thing.
No, it is. It is. Listen, as someone
Let me get rid of my idols and advantages. I need to start with a clean slate.
You should get rid of your advantages. Maybe not your idols, but, you know, I think there's something to be said for, like, getting that target off of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For Joe, he seemed like excited about, oh, you haven't seen Joe at Tribal yet.
Yeah.
Joe, I get crazy at Tribal, bro. Check this out. Deuces.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you think he was adequately, did he like hype himself up too much?
No, I think he lived up to the hype. I think he was sufficiently hype. I was, you know, I was enjoying it, but I just didn't feel like long term that was a great spot for him. I want to touch on Chrissy, who I think actually did not have a great night.
Well, only because she was a target, but, I mean, what else did you not like about the way?
I thought that she did a lot to raise her profile in the game, and not in a positive way.
Well, what do you mean?
I think that she ended up making herself a target in some ways, that she did a couple of different things tonight. She was very chatty at the merge feast, where even Ben was like, hey, should we do this here? I mean, shouldn't we be in private before we have this alliance talk? Yeah. She's like, oh, they can't hear us. Don't worry about that. And then also, I thought she was a bit of a showboat in the challenge when Jeff Probst, I'm sure that you must have been triggered, Steven, when he was making fun of Ryan for being the first one out of the first challenge after the merge.
Oh, I forgot all your dominant challenge performances.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. And like, hey, who knows how many times longer people are in the challenge than Ryan? She's like, actually, Jeff, it was 900 times.
Since when is like doing math some sort of survivor trigger? Like, yes, obviously it upset Lauren, but like, I think for most people,
they didn't like it.
The ability to like add or multiply is not necessarily like, you know, make you a huge
it's
threat.
It fed into a perception that people had about her.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think that she ultimately ended up being the target. She wasn't somebody that we thought a lot of people would be going for at the merge.
You think she was the target because she did math?
No, I think that she did a lot of things. I think that she seems to be a little overconfident at this point in the game. And I actually thought somebody who wasn't very much on the radar, Ryan, I thought he had a good night because he could be a kind of person they say, okay, he's a weasel. Let's get rid of that guy. Let's target him. Nobody was talking about him.
Yeah. And he actually, I mean, we didn't actually see very much of Ryan tonight, you know, certainly compared to how much we typically see of him. But it was interesting when he was talking to Devin, he said, you know, I'm really tight with JP. I want it to be me, you, JP, and Ashley. And he didn't even mention Chrissy in that conversation, which, you know, theoretically, Chrissy is his, like, number one. So maybe, and you know, Chrissy didn't mention Ryan when she was talking to Ben. So maybe they're keeping that secret. What I thought was interesting was that Devin knows, right, about the secret idol. So, I mean, you'd think that he would have asked Ryan, like, hey, what happened?
Yeah, Devin was really playing very hard and very aggressive after the merge as well. We saw him rounding up more numbers than Ryan.
Yeah, we saw he was seems the guy going, you know, and building that coalition.
Now we saw the a clue to something that may be an idol or an advantage. Or in the preview, it looks like there's something that's being dug up at camp. Cole did not find it. If only they would have put the advantage clue in the cinnamon sticks instead of in the nails. That would have been, he would have had it.
That would have been good,
Yeah. Why did they have cinnamon sticks? What is the utility of cinnamon sticks?
It's delicious. That's spicy.
It's to stir coffee?
To flavor.
To flavor your coffee. Wow, you guys are fancy.
Yeah.
You guys know what's going on with that. Okay. Let's bring out a guest.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Let's bring in somebody I know you guys are excited to see. We're excited to see. Please welcome to the stage the four-time legend of Survivor who's here with us in person, the great Ceree Fields. Ceree, this is like when you were on Survivor Price is Right to try to get out of this. Come on down. It's much harder to get to the stage than at Caroline's. Very excited. Everybody is excited to see Ceree. Give it up for Ceree.
Woo! Where are you going to...
Where do you want to sit? You have to pick. Sit next to Steven or next to me?
Oh,
okay, pick
Steven.
Here, take this. There you go.
Hi.
Ceree, we couldn't be more excited that you're here. And I know all these people are, too.
Hi, everybody. Oh, my God, I'm nervous.
We're all nervous. Ceree, how have you been enjoying season 35 of Survivor? Are you happy you're not on it?
Yes and no.
Yes and no.
I'm happy that I'm not on it again so quickly after 34 because I'm recuperating. But I love Survivor. I wish I was there. Yeah.
What brings you, like, what are the moments that, like, bring you back the most vividly? Is it walking to tribal council? Is it seeing a challenge? Is it...
You know what it is? It's Jeff saying, come on in, guys. I'm like, oh, my God.
I'm ready. Yeah.
Here, I just want to make sure we're getting you in the microphone.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Okay.
Come on in, guys, and Survivor is ready. Go! That, like, gets my heart racing. Like, I won't sleep tonight.
In a bad way.
No. In a good, but anxious kind of way, because I kind of feel like I'm there again. I usually don't watch it the night of. I usually DVR it and watch it the weekend because I won't sleep. Like, right now, I'm so amped up. Like, I had, like, 6 cups of coffee, so... You know, I don't know. I just, it's like in my blood, and I feel like everything that they're going through. I feel like Joe deciding should he play it or not. I feel like Jessica, like, oh no, it's me. Is I don't know. It's like surreal. I can't really explain it. I just feel like I'm there in that time as that person.
Does it come out in the challenges? Because as we saw last season that, you know, the challenges are a lot, you know, in terms of, like, having to, you know, expend all that energy to be able to do them. Is that why it's, you know, just brings back those memories?
Yeah, see, people don't realize. I didn't realize. I was a fan of the show from day one. I watched Richard Hatch win. But people don't realize how real and depleting it is. People see, like, Cole and, like, he's a big, strong guy. But you don't realize he is really... I feel for him, even though he's eating all the food wrong. But I know that he's starving. And the bigger you are and the more... It seems like the more fit you are. I have to say, like, people like me that are... have a lot of reserves. We don't starve as much. But the people that are, like, really fit and have, like, really fast metabolisms, I've seen them, like, really, really starving. So I think Cole's probably a good guy, but he's starving, you know? So I kind of feel for them in a different way than people at home can see, you know?
Well, we didn't talk about that moment between Cole and Ben, where Cole actually goes and apologizes to Ben for eating the food. Now, let's say that's you in that moment. Like, what did Cole do? Did he do it right and there was just no getting over, you know, Ben's anger? Or is there some better way? Like, obviously, you know, you would have never put yourself in that situation. But, like, let's say you hear, you know, some guy is just furious at you for, you know, something you did accidentally. Like, what's the correct, you know, move in that situation?
I think Cole did the exact thing that he should have done. You always err in the way of apologizing. What else can you do out there? It's not like you can buy him a drink. You have to go and say, look, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't know any better. And I think in that instance, he really didn't know any better and he couldn't help himself. He was really starving. So I think he did the right thing. Whether Ben you know, appreciated his apology or not, what else could he do besides give him a back massage?
Well, so for Ben, it really was that he felt like that. He talked about this last week. Cole is selfish because he could have put weight on. He could have put fat on before he came out here. And even tonight, Cole was like, yeah, you know, because I have such little body fat. And Ben said it again. He's like, well, you could have, you know,
but he's
gained
eating,
weight.
He's eating 8,000 calories. Like, how much do you want him to eat? 10,000 calories? Like, that's insane.
Maybe he doesn't have to lift.
Yeah.
But see, you don't think that. He's thinking like everybody else would think, like I thought. I need to get fit. I need to get strong. I need to get ripped. I need to be able to compete in challenges. He's not thinking like, geez, if I don't get fat or put on weight or be like Siri, I'm going to starve. He's thinking like, you know, I need to be as strong as possible. So you really don't understand until you're there.
I want to talk to you about the Cole and Jessica thing because they had this relationship and it seems as though that ultimately cost her game. And there's a moment that I always, I don't always think about it, but it reminds me of this. Back in when you played in Micronesia, that there's a really great scene where you're on the boat with Amanda and Parvati. Mm-hmm. And Amanda is with Ozzy and Parvati is with James. Oh, and boy. You are giving them a pep talk about, okay, whatever you guys are doing, that's fine. But it has to be the game first before the relationship. Do you feel like that Jessica was keeping her game ahead of that relationship?
I don't think so because Jessica is sweet and naive and, you know, the heart wants what the heart wants. However, any pair in Survivor is a threat. So if I'm making googly eyes at Cole or even Dr. Mike, everybody else around is just, they don't see like, oh, how sweet the relationship. They see two people. And in a game that numbers are important, that makes you a target immediately.
Yeah.
what did you think of the decision to vote out Jessica? Like, was that, I mean,
I think it was a wasted vote, especially now in the merge. You know, my thing is at the merge, you want to take out people who are physical threats, people who are going to win immunity challenges, people who you can't beat. And Jessica's eyes are so like googly about Cole. She's not even a threat physically. She's not a threat. You need to be looking at the Coles, the fireman guy, you know, the people that are going
JP.
To win. Yeah. JP, the people are going to win immunity challenges. That's how I like to play the game anyway. Mm-hmm.
Was last season just an outlier when Haley ended up being the person to get voted out at the merge just because she wasn't part of that big Nuku group?
That and Haley never wanted to talk game with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Haley had like Troyzan. When Troyzan came over to us, his people were Haley and Jonathan. There's three people right there. So numbers is key, you know. So sometimes it doesn't really matter how physically fit you are or if you're a challenge threat. It's all about the numbers. And if somebody's making you their go-to number, then the shift goes to you as opposed to the physical threat.
Let's talk about Joe and what he did tonight with his idol. Were you a fan of how he played any of that?
I thought it was gangster heist.
It was very fun.
And said, I got it. Let's go. You know, however, usually when you do that, you shake everybody. And you should know that, okay, I put everybody on notice, don't come for me. So I think it was a waste to play it when Joe played the idol unnecessarily.
Do you think it's unfair, all of the Tony Joe comparisons to either guy? Because I know we do it a ton.
Well, I mean, you have to give Tony credit where credit is due. Is he did a particular Tony move tonight, saying, look, this is it. I got it. Come for me if you want to. But he failed to follow through and not play the idol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
she agrees.
So if you think Jessica is the wrong person, for like, who would have been the right person? Do you think they should have taken that shot at Cole?
Absolutely. Well, you know, for me, it's the physical threat. And even though Cole had his little lapse, you know, his little starvation incident, now he's eating and he's strong. And to me, looking at him, if I was there, I would be going for Tony, JP, the stronger people, because I could probably... maybe beat Chrissy. I mean, I don't know. So yeah, I think it was a wasted vote on Jessica because she's not really strategic enough. She's not really physical enough. She's not really that big of a threat. I would even go after Dr. Mike before I went after Jessica.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not really Dr. Mike if I get to play with you again.
Yeah. You know, that Jessica is a nurse practitioner, Dr. Mike is obviously a doctor. I had speculated that maybe there's a little bit of a, you know, that they could work together, or they were at least, like, when Cole went down, boom, they were able to very quickly, you know, work to resuscitate him. And it seemed like game-wise they were on the same page. As somebody who works in a medical field, I was trying to think this through of doctors that you worked with, and you played with Candace and were able to work with Candace. Is there a shorthand there between people that are in the same profession?
Absolutely not. When you're on Survivor, it does not matter.
My wife is shaking her head, too.
It really does. You would like to think that, and you may be falsely led into believing that, oh, we're in the same profession, we're both healers, we should stick together, we're from the same hood, but everything falls to the wayside because it's all for one and every man for himself when you're playing Survivor. So you can't think that, oh, you know, she's a nurse, I'm a doctor, we're going to hook up and everything's going to be good. No, we're all going for that same $1 million, and you could be, well, not my mother, but, I mean, short of my mother, I mean, everyone is fair game.
But when you first hit that beach, you are looking for, like, some kind of commonalities. Like, for me, it's always like, who's in a similar world to me back home who I can, you know, I feel
who
like...
knows
like
poems? Yeah, who yeah, knows? Exactly.
Who will process...
Who listens to NPR?
I mean, come on, everyone listens to it. No? But you, like, what are the things for you that are like, that person that stands out to me as someone who I want to be with?
I look for personality similarities. Professions and locations really mean nothing. If we have the same thought process, if we have the same trust factors that matter to us, those things kind of stand out more than she's a nurse and I'm a nurse, because a nurse will stab you in the back just as quickly as a fireman. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, but if we have the same, if we come from the same lifestyle, if we understand each other, we're from the same type of hood, maybe Boston or Jersey, wherever, then, you know, I would probably look more towards that type of person. Profession means nothing in the game of Survivor. Sorry.
Yeah. How did you think Chrissy ended up doing tonight? Where did you come down on? Was she showing her hand too much in terms of how smart she is?
You know what? For me, less is more, always. Mm-hmm. You never want to post up or make yourself a target. I like to get as small as possible, which is not really that possible for a person like me. But when you start to... I don't know, like overestimate yourself and stand out and make comments when it's not necessary. All you're saying is, hey, I'm available, vote me out. And that's kind of what Chrissy did tonight. I like Chrissy. I thought she was playing a good game tonight, saying how many seconds it took for what's his name to get out. You know, it kind of like said, hey, look at me, I'm smart. Because I didn't know it was that many seconds. I'm like, damn, she was close. You know, so you never want to put a target on your back. You just want to be as quiet and under the radar as possible.
You've heard it here. Never do math on Survivor.
There's something that I think is really interesting about this season that I think goes back to you. We've seen that there's been a lot of advantages this season. With the wrinkle, here's an advantage, but you have to play it this round. We can't have everybody keep all the advantages until the end of the game because then we have advantage getting hiss. Hiss. We hate that. We hate that. Do you feel like that is a direct response to what happened to you last season? You can't say it. They can say it, I guess.
I guess, you know, potentially it could be that. Probably it could be that.
You're a game changer again.
I know. Damn it. In the wrong way, though. Yeah. I mean, I think it's smart of them because who knew that, you know, what happened to me would happen. So I guess they rethought the process and said, you know, we don't want to have another Suri episode, which was quite unfair, I might add. No. But, what, you know, listen, I can't complain. If you have to go out, what a way to go out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad they thought about it, but... You know, what happens, happens. It's Survivor, guys. Come on. I go out, you go out there knowing that anything is possible. And if you don't feel that anything is possible, then you're probably going to get blindsided. So, I mean, I appreciate the fact that they thought about, you know, let's put a time frame on all of these advantages. I actually love all the advantages. I just like to get one once. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Yeah.
So you like these, like, micro advantages.
Oh,
that
my God. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I love all of the advantages. I love the new advantages, the legacies. I mean, I've been watching from day one. So anytime there's a new advantage, it's like me getting a new pocketbook or a new outfit or something. Like, woohoo.
Like, I want that.
Yeah, you know, I just would like to utilize it or wear it one time.
Yeah, it's too bad that we didn't get to see what this advantage was because that the way that they built this season, it really is pretty interesting. They put an advantage in the game on the very first day. So when the game started, boom, here's an advantage. Then they put an advantage in the game the day that the swap happened. Mm-hmm. And then, okay, now here's an advantage that has to get passed along at the swap. And now we got the merge today and we got this other advantage. And it really would have been interesting to see how that would have played out, whether it would have been something you have to play this at a tribal council or you have to give this to another player to play at the tribal council. Hopefully we'll see next week what it ultimately is. But I think that this has been a very fun wrinkle on this season.
I think the best advantage was the disadvantage.
Oh, yeah. You like that.
Yeah, you show up like, I got an advantage. And it's like, oh, it's not really an advantage. So I enjoyed that a lot.
I want to ask you also about Lauren and Ben, who were sort of the swing votes tonight here. Now, you were in a really interesting swing position in Micronesia where you had the four people after Johnny Fairplay went home. You had the two couples, and then you had, like, the people that were on the outs, or the Penner, Yao right. Man, Eliza and Amy, and you were in the middle. And you were in a really great spot because you were able to, like, get the deal you wanted from both those sides. Did you feel like that Ben or Lauren did a good job of getting the deal they wanted?
I think they could have maximized their positions a little better. But there's like, you gotta be, there's a really fine line between playing that position and playing that position well. Because once you choose, like Ben was saying, everything is exposed. So if you choose the right side, the winning side, then it's advantageous to you. But if you choose the wrong side, which thank God I was lucky to fall on the right side in Micronesia, then all your hand is shown and all you have to do is wait to be pretty much picked off because no one's going to trust you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And if, you know, it's difficult. It all depends on the people that are playing. In my season with Micronesia, it was easy for me because the pinner side, they didn't trust each other, and they exposed that to me, very early on. We don't trust each other, so it was an easy choice for me. In this instance, it's like, which way do I go? And once I go, unless you're like Officer Sarah, once you choose a side, you're stuck with that side, So I don't think they maximized the potential that they had. But they did the best they could.
Well, that was my, your Sarah shout-out was my question. Like, is this it for Ben and Lauren's opportunity to work with Dr. Mike and Cole? Like, or is there room to go back and, work with them in the future?
Again, like I said, it depends on the people that you're playing with. And yeah. Dr. Mike is really smart. Yeah. And even though Cole is starving stupid, because I think he's like, I think Cole would be smarter if he had food. The fact that you expose yourself to them and Dr. Mike being really smart, I don't think the ability to flip-flop or to come back is there as it was for Officer Sarah with our people.
Okay. You want to bring up a couple of more people?
Yeah.
Yeah, you stay. Woo-hoo! You stay here. You stay. Please, okay. if you will.
Someone in the audience was known as the Suri of Gabon, I believe.
The Suri of Gabon.
Is Charlie Herschel still here? No, he's gone.
Did he leave already?
Charlie? All right, Charlie Herschel's not here anymore.
He's ducking under his seat. Yeah. Steven said we got to get him because he's going to leave.
Yeah,
wow. We got to get him. He's going
to
leave.
He goes to bed early.
Okay.
He's got a kid.
That's look, I hear that noise. Well, let's bring up then, we have another great guest here, Jessica Lewis. Woo! And while Jessica makes her way to the Price is Right stage, Suri, I just want to say that I loved it when you were fighting with Penner in Micronesia. That was really, that's really great.
That was bad.
Suri. What, you don't want to work with me?
Okay. Wait, hold on. We only got an hour here, Jessica. Okay. All right. Come on up. Give it up for Jessica Lewis.
I had to take just a quick video.
Jessica, can you believe Charlie Herschel walked out before hearing what Stephen and I had to say?
No, he should have stayed.
Shut up.
He should have definitely stayed.
Should have stayed. All right. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much. This is my first time at a Know-It-Alls, so I'm excited.
Me too.
Thank you for having me. And who would have ever thought I'd be sitting here with such wonderful individuals? Like, I'm literally shaking. You have no idea. Like, my legs are shaking. Like, this is a true honor. So thank you, everyone. This is fantastic. Yes.
The Suri of Millennials versus Gen X.
Yes. So, with this vote tonight, that there was a possibility that we were headed towards a 6-6 vote if Ben and Lauren were going to end up going their separate ways.
I was counting. I was like, oh, Lord, we're getting there.
Did you feel like that Lauren ultimately went with the larger number because she was afraid to potentially go to the rocks?
You know, I don't know if that was necessarily her concern. I think Ben was more of her concern, and I think she was going to do whatever Ben wanted to do. I don't think anyone wants to go to rocks, clearly. But if you are really relying on someone in your alliance, and I think she and Ben are very close, that's where her decision really boiled down to.
In terms of how Cole has had to handle this food situation, you guys had a lot of issues with people eating all the food at the Merge.
Not people.
Yes.
You did it. I love it. That's great.
Yeah. So did Taylor say that he ate 8,000 calories a day or he just had like the munchies?
No, I think he just had the munchies the whole time. And I have to say, I got to give a shout out to my husband who was like, Taylor should go home as we were watching this tonight because it was so Taylor-esque. But no, I think Taylor did it for a couple of reasons. One, I think he just thought it was funny and didn't really care that it was going to negatively affect his game. But I also think he just had a case of the munchies the entire time he was out there. So,
I mean, yeah. Tyson pulled off the whole, like, I will eat everything and own that. I mean, at the start, they were secretive about it. But, like, at some point, they were just like, yeah, we're eating everything.
I don't know. Were they? Did they actually own it to everybody? I think that him and Jervis, they were the coconut bandits, the bandits being the operative word that they were, like, behind everybody's back.
The thing is with Tyson, you can never tell if he's being serious or sarcastic. Yeah. So he might have said it.
Well,
like,
Tyson could get away with murder in terms of like oh, when it was no big deal, man. What's going on? He's like, ah, Tyson, you are incorrigible.
Well, well, if you guys remember in Exile Island, Bruce and Bob.
Yes.
Oh, yes. The wine.
Who I love dearly. Did drink the last bottle of wine.
And they did not get away with it.
We drank the wine. We don't care. And no, it didn't work out right for them.
Do you think food is a bigger issue on a new player season than it is on a returning player season?
Yes, absolutely, because it's your first experience with starvation. So the returning players kind of know, you kind of plan to starve. You know, you kind of set your mind, you know what, I'm going to starve, I'm going to suffer, but I have a focus, I'm trying to get to the end. Where a new player, everything is new, so this starvation affects them in a different way than it does someone returning and having the... It's like anything that you have experience with. You handle it differently than when you don't have experience.
The thing I was also thinking is that when it's your first time, it feels like such this like grand adventure. And right. like you're all in it together. And like this is our group. And we're working right. against each other. But we're also here as like some big, you know, journey. And so when someone like steals food, they're like betraying that. Whereas, you know, with new players, it's like, oh, my God, these people, God, we'll, you know, hate them.
Animals. Yeah, yeah, no, it's like a grander offense because it's like, we're all starving. They drink the wine. I mean, it really is wine. However, like you said, second time around, you know, we're used to it. We, okay, they ate the food, but they won't get this idol. You know, it's a different yeah. type of mindset.
Yeah, I think when you, I clearly wasn't ever a returning player. Hopefully I get that chance. But when you're playing the game, everything you do, you're so worried is going to negatively affect you in some fashion. And so every bit of food you take, you feel like everyone's watching you. And everything you do, you feel like someone's watching you. So I do think that there's a more of a relaxed atmosphere the second time because you know what to be concerned with.
Yeah.
Whereas the first time, you need to be concerned with everything.
Everything. I agree.
It's kind of a great way to like exist, you know, where everything you do matters, like compared to like most of our lives, where, like nothing matters, you know?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we need to just follow you around with cameras all day, and then you'll have such a meaningful existence.
Yeah, well, if your whole fate in this, like, the game, which is, like, you know, metaphorically life, is dependent on, like, oh, my God, I dropped some food, and now my, like, torch is going to be snuffed, you know? I mean, what an existence.
I think you'd go like, insane.
The knife edge, yeah.
You'd go insane. Every morning you'd wake up just in a panic. Yeah. You couldn't sleep ever. Coming into the merge in terms of this first vote, was this any way like your first vote at the merge?
My first vote at the merge was different because what you didn't see was I was actually on the chopping block when we started the merge. I mean, I was the first name that people were saying. So when I lost that first tribal immunity challenge, I was devastated. So I was actually like, almost like a zombie, because I was like, I'm done, I'm going home. And then all of a sudden, Zeke pulled me aside, and he's like, okay, listen, it's not you now, it's Adam. And I was like, oh my gosh. And so then your life comes back. But then it just keeps spiraling. And I think that you were the one that said it, Stephen, about the wheel just keeps spinning. I got to give him credit. You know, the wheel was spinning, and the name that it stopped on was Michelle, and it stopped on Michelle because people were afraid.
So the immunity challenge was a metaphor?
Well, people were afraid that Jay had an idol, and they said, well, if Jay has an idol, very similar, if Jay has an idol, he might play it for Taylor, but he won't play it for Michelle. So we're going to go with Michelle. And so that was kind of where the strategy came into play with that.
It makes you understand how James K. Polk got elected president in 1844, you know? Like, this dark horse candidate comes out of nowhere, right, you know, right. You're like, that's the one. That.
Yeah, just like that.
Another great analogy.
Yeah. Do you have one particular merge that was crazier than the other ones? You've been through that three times.
Four times, right? Don't
fact check me, people in the crowd.
He's right.
The snickering. Because it was kind of clear in Exile Island, right? And then
Exile Island was laid out. I mean, here, Fans vs. Favorite was kind of laid out.
Yeah.
I guess this merge was a little more unstable because it had been shuffled so many times and you really didn't know where the loyalties lied. But, you know, for me, a merge is a merge is a merge. I was all about the food.
All right, I want to start to get the questions from the audience. I know we're going to have a lot. So let's make a line over here, and let's see how many we can get to, because I know it takes a long time for people to get down, and Brian is right here, so let me go to him. Okay.
So I have a statement and a couple quick questions. You know, you talked about Chrissy kind of painting a target on her back. You didn't really talk about Ben. I think he really kind of did the same thing. About halfway through the episode, I was very nervous for him, thinking that, you know, he was putting himself in trouble. So, you know, maybe, you know, talk about what his future is going forward. And then just a couple quick questions. You had Cole and Joe sitting on the log. So who was dumber, Cole or the log? And now I lost my other question.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. All right. Did Ben, in your minds, did he put himself into a bad situation with how he played this round?
It seemed like he's in a bad situation, right? Where he's got, or he's in a great situation where he's that swing vote, you know. So I mean, the thing is, like, he's so in these two groups at least that he's going to infuriate one of them, right? I mean,
I agree. You know, it just depends where the power ends up shaking out, because it's either a great spot, like Steven said, or it's a great spot if the power lies with the group that you went with. But if the power ends up with the group that you went against, then it's a horrible position to be in.
Yeah.
And you totally shine a light on yourself when you make that decision. Right.
But I actually think he is going to end up being fine, because who are the people that are going to end up being mad at him? I mean, he voted one of them out. Mm-hmm. Desi and Joe, they were on the other tribe. Joe was like, you can't trust Ben. Like, he knew. So it's really just Cole, and he'd already been having beef with him, and Dr. Mike. So maybe he could patch things up with Dr. Mike, but he made six other people happy. So I think he ended up in the better position.
Such a bad episode for Ben, though, right? I mean, I thought he was like the anointed winner, but not if, I don't know about that.
Steven, during the episode, this is a bad look for him. Okay, Alicia.
Hi. I'm just wondering how you guys think you would have done in this particular challenge, since you have both the balance and you have to keep the ball at the same time.
Great, I would have won.
Really, Alicia?
Okay.
Did you not see my balance beam?
We'll give that one to Jessica.
I have experience with that balance beam, so I can say I think the balance beam I'd be okay, but I don't know if I'd be able to handle that noise over. It would make my eyes cross, and I would probably drop the ball really quickly.
This was from Australian Survivor, right?
Yes, amazing.
Not the first time it's ever been.
I have to say, if you haven't watched the second season of Australian Survivor, watch it.
No spoilers.
No spoilers. Yeah. Just watch
Nobody yell out spoilers from the audience tonight for any shows.
Okay.
First of all, I'm freaking out standing near all of you.
And what's your name?
You. My name is Andy. I tweeted that.
Hi, Andy.
Jessica.
Bye, Andy.
So let's pretend that when Dr. Mike went to Ben with their plan, he didn't throw out Chrissy's name. He threw out maybe a hustler. Does Ben go with them?
Well, that's where you run into a tricky spot with Lauren. As long as Lauren is willing to say, I'm cutting my losses with the hustlers, I think that possibly, yes. I think that could have happened.
Yeah. And Lauren was never that tight with them. I mean, her whole narrative on that tribe was that she felt out of place.
But it's a good question, because we saw in Cagayan, when Cass ended up being the person who flipped over that officer, to vote out Officer Sarah, that it was the question that was asked to her by Trish, who do you want? Whatever name you want, that's who we'll go with. And I guarantee you, Ben did not volunteer Chrissy as the person to put the votes on.
Well, we saw who he volunteered. It was Cole.
Yeah. So maybe that would have been more convincing for him.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Okay. Hello. Hello. My name is Anthony. My question goes to the four of you guys. Which one, who labeled themselves all three occupations here, and who labeled them one of each out of the four?
Hold on.
Wait, what?
I'm not sure I'm following. So,
one gets to pick all three, and the other three pick one.
Okay, so somebody is a hero, a healer, and a hustler.
And the other three.
That's pretty clearly
three.
Like, yeah.
Hey, wait.
Yeah.
Out of
and
us?
The other one is all three.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty clearly, yeah.
Okay.
Sri's all three.
Sri's all
there we
three.
Go. We'll go three.
I'm a hero, Steve, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jessica's a hero.
All three.
Aw, thanks.
Steven's a healer. I'm a hustler. How about that? Good? Okay, let's go. Gotta get to a lot of questions. Okay. Yes.
Hi, my name is Andrew. Big fan of all you.
Hi, Andrew.
Question for all four of you. Do you guys see any cracks within the majority currently, and who would be most likely to take advantage of that from the minority? And also, quick one for Steven. Who do you think has eaten more steaks, Ben or JT?
Ah!
I probably eat about 10 of those steaks.
Okay. So really like that one. Okay.
Yeah, I'm biased. What do you think? Who do you think? You've had a JT experience.
Whoa. We were having such a nice time.
Yeah.
That was a good face.
No comment.
Okay. All right, but in terms of a crack in the big alliance, do we think that it could be eventually heroes versus healers?
I think if anyone's going to find a crack, it's going to be Dr. Mike. And maybe it's going to be Lauren, and that's how that crack is going to start.
You know,
someone's giggling about that. Yeah. I don't know what I said, but
I just think that maybe the urologist finding a crack.
Oh,
you know?
My gosh.
Ba-dum-bum.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Sorry, we'll move on.
But it's just so funny how the game goes back and forth, because it's like the two groups that did worse in the first part of the game, they end up having the advantage at the merge. And then I'm sure we'll see a few healers get picked off. Mm-hmm. But then whoever is left from the healers will end up being sort of the kingmaker when it turns into the heroes versus the hustlers. So you just need to be the person who survives from your little group, and then eventually you'll have power. The meek shall inherit the earth. On Survivor.
Thank you.
Okay.
That was good.
Yes.
Hey, I'm JJ. With this immunity challenge, it seems like there was a chance for accidental or fake accidental interference with other people's stuff. There's balls flying everywhere.
Whoa.
Balance beams. Balance beams people could fall off of. What do you think the rule is on that, and what should the rule be on that?
No, I think, it's Survivor. Whatever happens.
Could you just make the thing go crazy and knock somebody out with a ball?
I'd love to see it.
Hit with a ball or two, I mean.
Whoa.
Really? So you think that's okay? Like, you think that's, like, fair?
I think you asking me? I think anything is fair game. You know, you have to maintain focus no matter what happens. So if a ball flies over and hits you and you can recover, should you be out? I mean, no, it's Survivor.
But could you, like, throw a ball at someone? I mean, then does that person have any...
Well, I mean, now if you intentionally just took your ball out. One, you're out. That's stupid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Two, who would do that? But if the ball just flew over and hit you, you could potentially recover.
Yeah.
So, no, I mean, if you get hit and your focus is shook by that, you're out. If you get idled out, you're out.
Somebody ask John Kierhofer. We'll get the answer to that. Okay, Zvi.
Hey.
Okay, quick.
First of all, Steven, beautiful socks.
Thank you very much.
I was checking.
You're very welcome. Just wanted to ask about this advantage. So we had an advantage in the first episode in the swap as well as the merge, and we saw Cole whiff on it. Do we think that is what is being shown in the next time on Survivor, and what do we think it might be?
Ooh.
Dope one.
Perhaps.
Do you think that could be an advantage or an in terms of it being an advantage that we saw with the other stuff, like Jessica didn't have to go find something.
Right.
Like Brian didn't have to go find something. I suspect that's the idol that they're going to fight over next week.
I missed it. I was running back from the restroom. What did we see? Just someone digging
some people,
in the sand?
A bunch of people fighting. Shades of Amanda and Danielle.
Well, or what you guys in Heroes versus Villains, I definitely agree that it is probably an idol because when some, for lack of a better word, idiot showed everybody the clue to the hidden immunity idol in Heroes versus Villains inside the coffee beans,
yes,
when they could have had it all to themselves. everybody went running for it. It could have been the same situation.
Yeah.
Just people didn't decide to follow Terry over to, was it Terry? No, well, I mean Tom.
Yeah, Tom.
Terry Tom over to where he was digging for it. So I believe it's probably an idol.
Yeah.
So are you saying Cole is the one that advertised that and made a mistake yet again, giving away all of his information?
All right, well, let's not prosecute him for that yet before we have all the evidence. Okay.
Sorry. We love you, Cole.
Okay. All right, let's do one more question. Okay.
Hey, Rob. Hey, first off, I just want to say, Jessica, you're killing it with Why Did Blank Go Home? You're really doing great.
Oh, thank
I love
you so much. And
Why Blank Lost? Why Blank Lost?
Yeah, Why Blank Lost?
David Bloomberg will be upset.
David Bloomberg
is David
here.
Bloomberg's also, you guys are awesome together. Really funny. Like,
thank
you guys,
so much. If you're not listening, please listen to Why Blank Lost.
Okay, so I know you're time sensitive with this, so I'm going to go quick.
Sorry.
I have an editing question. Yeah. After they went back and forth after the challenge, when it was Joe, it was Cole, it was Joel, it was Cole, and then Jessica's name just dropped out of nowhere, I leaned into my little brother and I said, Jessica's gone. And he's like, no way, why would she be gone? And then when she went, he was like upset. And I think the...
Did you just come up here to brag?
I knew you were going to say that. I didn't want to sound like that. But my question actually is that the editors are doing a Michaela so often, a Michaela edit so often this season, that it's almost not, it's almost predictable. I think it is. Did anybody else know that Jessica was
I didn't even know the Michaela edit was a thing.
No, that was the best edit, but it was a fool's edit. But it's
from
like,
which season?
South Pacific. No, Millennials vs. Gen X.
She played it two seasons.
Oh, yeah. Millennials vs. Gen X.
I love you, Michaela.
Do you think that these kind of edits are, if they happen too frequently, do they become predictable?
You feel like that when in the edit, like, oh, by the way, what about this person as a backup plan? Steven, a thought on this?
I thought that was true to the experience of being out there, where like we were saying earlier, just the idea of like, you know, you talk endlessly about a couple people, and then like just someone's name gets like spit out. I mean, they can't then show the whole tribe agreeing. Oh yeah, that's a great idea, because like then there would be no drama.
Right.
Okay. All right. All right. It's super quick.
Hey, we've seen people of Chrissy's archetype lose in Final Tribal Council because they weren't prominent enough in their alliance, like Lisa Welchel or Monica Culpepper. How can, today we gave Chrissy flack for being too prominent. How can Chrissy straddle this divide?
Okay, is Chrissy doomed to potentially lose in a Final Tribal Council as somebody who is playing as the mom archetype to two women who are mothers?
Well, I think as long as Chrissy has the fortitude to win a challenge, no, she's not doomed. But I think she has to come off the high horse a little bit and maintain her. She can maintain her mom persona, but maintain it under the radars. Stop making a spectacle of yourself. Stop saying, hey, I'm the smart girl, I'm the smart mom. And I think if she can win, she could...
A little teacher's pet.
A little bit. Yeah.
That's a great question, because I mean, I think, you know, your whole... You're saying like it's better to play under the radar. It's better not make yourself too known. But I think everyone agrees, right? If you had been in the Final Tribal in probably any of your seasons, you would have automatically won. How do you build the resume so that you get that, have that credibility while also remaining under the radar?
You can build the resume as long as you can speak to the resume at the Final Tribal. Even if people don't overtly see the resume as it's being built, if you can speak to it at the end, you can argue well enough to
convince people that you deserve that $1 million at the end. So you don't have to be the spectacle while you're building the resume, as long as you can speak to it.
And you also have to remember how you're treating people. And I think that that's part of Chrissy's issue right now, is that she is a little bit on a high horse and she's kind of offending people. Right. And then if you sit in that final tribal, people might be offended or even disgusted with some of the things that you might have said or how you treated them, which can come back to bite you. So it's a very, very tricky thing to balance.
Okay, so we've got to start to wrap this up. Okay, we've got a lot coming up on the podcast in the next couple of days. We have our exit interview with Jessica coming up tomorrow. I'm very excited on the recap podcast. I'm going to be catching up with the great Andrea Belke.
Woohoo!
Excellent.
Cinderella is her name.
What's that?
You know, Andrea is also known as Cinderella.
Cinderella.
That's right.
Why?
Because she's a princess.
I'll ask her about that.
Please.
All right, we've got the voicemails coming up this weekend as well. Antonio Mazzaro is going to join me on the voicemail. Oh, big round of applause for Antonio. Yeah. And then we got a lot coming up next week as well. Todd Herzog is going to be back on the podcast next week.
Excellent.
And Brett LaBelle will be on the voicemails next week. So a lot of great stuff coming up here in November on Robin's Podcast. Thank you guys so much for coming out to see
us.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is the biggest crowd we've ever had at one of these. You guys were fantastic. We are going to be headed to the after party, Jake's Dilemma. Okay? We'll be moving there for the second part of the night. Let's give it up for Sari and Jessica as well. Wow.
Thank you, guys.
Great ovation. And Stephen Fishback, too.
No, and to Rob Sesternino, who brings us all together. Woo! Yes.
Thank you, Rob. Right.
And then he does not do a good job after that. But he's, you know, he's here.
All right, so be sure we got a video version coming up of this on YouTube if you just listen to the audio version. Thanks so much. Have a great night, everybody. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.